work with that. We've gotten so caught up in this idea that the philosophy has a look, and that's not true. Philosophy is in our minds. Design is in front of our eyes, and the design should be helping to bring people into the philosophy.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to my YouTube channel. So some of you may or may not know a little bit of my past is I've been in digital marketing. I went to school for graphic design, and a big part of what I do as far as content creation has to do with design and has to do with creative. So naturally, when I reached out to my next guest, it was a breath of fresh air because it was somebody I could finally connect with on this wavelength. And I'm just super excited to have him here. He is the director of design for PragerU, and I'm just, you know, honored to have him on as a guest. Alexander Jimenez, thank you so much for being here, man.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so one of the things that I think we connected on was just this need to, I guess, find an answer for why there's not necessarily a lot of creativity on the conservative side of politics, right? Where we did a little Clubhouse event and we discussed, you know, the left is all this brilliant marketing, they're in entertainment, they're in all of these things. What do you think is kind of the macro issue that's at stake here, just from your experiences and your time at PragerU? What are you seeing that maybe we're missing?
Okay, well, I think it's a twofold thing. On the one hand, leftism and progressive ideas are just totally dominant in art schools and design programs. So there's that natural tendency that if you go to a design program, like 9 out of 10 students are probably going to want to go do left-wing causes and things like that, or they're not going to want to work for a conservative company or anything really pro-American. And the second half of that is that there are so many opportunities in our culture right now for someone with a progressive mindset. So it's basically, if you want to be a designer and get a job, you've got to go work for some kind of a progressive organization, or you're going to be doing a lot of passion projects that have that type of motivation behind them. Right. And I think that on the conservative side, for a long time, and it's starting to change, which is really nice, there's been this mindset that, well, we have the better ideas, we have the better facts, we have the better arguments, therefore we don't need to illustrate or embellish them or sell them to people. They'll just hear it and it'll dawn upon them how wrong they've been. And it's definitely not true. You're competing with like this juggernaut of creativity on the other side, making horrible ideas look amazing. And you have to fight back with the same level of passion and creativity.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. You know, they're taking bad ideas and making them look incredibly sexy and appealing, and like you want to buy into them. And that to me is one of the bigger reasons why I thought that maybe my talent or my skills, whatever you want to call it, my craft, is better used here on the conservative side or with you know, conservative politics, because not only is it more truthful and authentic and coming from a more real place, but at the same time, it's more needed. So if somebody is like a creative and they happen to be a conservative, a lot of times what happens is they're scared to kind of come out about that. They're scared to talk about those things because maybe they won't get maybe they won't get into FIT or SVA or something. Maybe they won't get the internship in Hollywood. But in my opinion, what I'm seeing is there's kind of a new side of the industry that's being created with people like you guys at PragerU or Daily Wire and stuff like that, creating a new infrastructure for designers and for creatives where they can utilize them for their talents and create all of this amazing stuff that ultimately is centered around the core message of conservatism. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think so. Definitely, if you start with like PragerU, for example, one of the things that I have, you know, really loved when I started working at PragerU was that a lot of value is put on design.
Right. It shows.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, we have a really good team. We've actually got numerous designers and producers and editors and creative minds there. So I definitely don't really take a lot of the credit for that. There's so many people involved. But when I started, the company was actually much smaller, and there was really only like one other person who had worked as a designer for PragerU at that point in time.
Wow.
And so whether it was through instinct or foresight, I'm not totally sure, on behalf of, you know, like our CEO and our head of marketing, and like Dennis and the founders of the company, they have been very design led, which is a term that when I read creative directors from like Adobe or design luminaries like Chris Doe or any of these people, they talk about there should be like design led companies. And for whatever reason, PragerU tapped into that early on. And I think it gave us a big like advantage this kind of cultural battle. And other places, other teams, I think, are picking up on it. They're starting to like realize it's important. And I'm not going to say we can take all the credit, but I hope we can take a little bit of the credit, you know?
Yeah, no, that's such a great point, you know, with people like Christo and, you know, all of these kind of, you know, juggernauts of the design world, really. That is one of their main points, is like you have to start with the design in mind and you have to kind of reverse engineer from there, because that's what people are seeing first, right? Like they might just see a clip on Instagram or on YouTube or whatever of somebody's face, and the quality might be poor. If the audio is bad or if there's not good composition on the video, people aren't necessarily, they're not going to internalize it necessarily, but they're not going to stay for long. And I think when you lead with like, all right, how can we package this in a really unique way and also make it look very high quality, people appreciate it and they're more willing to do everything, donate, they're more willing to subscribe, they're more willing to, you know, just be a part of that. I want to talk about some trends in the design world as far as conservatism goes with you, because I think having your opinion on that stuff should be really valuable. Memes.
Memes. Okay. Well, I'm not super tuned into meme culture. My brother-in-law is a bit younger than me, and so every time that we are hanging out, he kind of like pokes fun at me about how I don't know like my memes and whatnot. But memes are an interesting thing, because when you're talking about design, I think we all assume that that means a lot of pretty pictures or beautiful colors and fonts and things like that. But design is really like, it's a problem solving thing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of memes, just from an aesthetic perspective, are like, they're total garbage. The look of them is just horrendous, right?
Yeah.
But they achieve this purpose, which is that through humor and some kind of clever combination, they are conveying this message. And the fact that they do it predominantly with humor is really important, because there's this whole issue of humor comedy's dying because of the left. And I think that that's very intentional, because comedy is one of those things that lets you cut straight through. So from a design perspective, the meme is probably the optimized social media delivery method for a humorous take on things. It's not necessarily beautiful, but it achieves that purpose.
Right. Do you think that there's a too much of anything is no good kind of problem with memes when it comes to what we're trying to get across as conservatives? Because what I can see happening more and more often is a subject matter will come up, you know, something big will happen in the news, and then everybody has a kind of a varying take on it. For most part, it's similar. But then the memes get shared so much that it almost loses its initial appeal of like, whereas a comedy meme would just kind of make you chuckle every time or whatever, or it'll get old and repurposed and it'll constantly be made new. These topical memes for the news start to kind of seem mean. Does that make sense? They start to seem like mean-spirited.
Yeah, there's a tendency in the social media world. I'm pretty convinced that it has to do with the anonymity of social media, which is not a new idea, but I think it's the most compelling. Well, there's two things on social media, unfortunately, that work in the left's favor and not in ours, which is first off, that it's anonymous. So you don't really have to own your opinions. You just get to sling them and then walk away. So that's one problem, is there's a lack of accountability. And number two is that everything has to be fast. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't know where I read it, but basically, the faster that you have to convey a concept, like in terms of you're forced to do it, then you tend to be more dramatic, oversimplified, and there is a natural human tendency to go for the cheap win, which is usually some kind of a hurt that you can inflict on another person. So yeah, what you're saying is, as the cycle amplifies, people tend to go meaner and meaner and meaner and meaner and meaner. And yeah, that's an issue with memes, but that's an issue with all social media as it is right now, because the time for reflection's not there. So people don't sit back and say, could I have adjusted my tone, right? So you're going to have that issue. I don't think it's just memes. I think it's a social media problem.
That's a good point. I tend to see that a lot with this, in particular Twitter, but also definitely Instagram memes and Reels. I see that a lot with, right? Reels or TikToks, whatever you want to call whatever, depending on the platform, where, you know, you amplify, I guess the hot take is what they call it now, because if not, you just don't get the traction. You don't get the attention. How do you balance trying not to necessarily come from a mean-spirited place and educate people while also gaining all of that, I guess, attention or engagement as far as social media goes? I know we're talking more about design than we're talking about engagement in social media, but I think they definitely intersect.
Well, they're obviously related, because engagement is like, these are the performance metrics that you're shooting for when you're designing content. So just a word of advice to designers who are of a conservative mindset. When you guys are making your content, you should really be aiming at certain types of performance results, whether that's reach, views, likes, shares, or even saves. I talk with my wife. I'm just going to give you a little tangent. It's very funny. My wife is the managing editor for EV Magazine. And they're very pro traditional, they're teaching women how to they don't have to be like radically feminist in order to have a fulfilling life and things like that. But they do article topics that cover things like, sexual relationships and whatnot. And one of the funnier things is they'll post them and they'll be like, man, these didn't get as many likes as a lot of our posts. But then they open the metrics, and you see that like they have outlandish like saves. So you realize, there's a lot of people liked this article. They just want other people to know, so they saved it. So
That's interesting.
You definitely have to like look at these type of metrics. But anyway,
so you're saying aim for a specific metric.
Sorry?
You're saying aim for a specific metric, not necessarily like, I just want this to go viral, which is the common phrase, you know? And I hear that a lot from influencers and stuff like that, that are conservatives. Like, can you make this post go viral? You know, like, and they'll share it with everybody in their DMs or whatever. So you're saying aim for a specific metrics.
There are some people who, like, everything they post is just a slam dunk, right? They've become like a culture figure.
Right.
So that's like where you have Candace Owens is, or you have like, Will Witt is becoming one of those people, and PragerU just hired Amala Epinobi, and she's like everything that they post does really well because they've established that cultural presence where people just want to know what they have to say on an issue, and it's an instant hit. But if you're not one of those people, you should be thinking about looking at the metrics and aiming for them. So like, when I'm posting right now, one of the things that I'm trying to do is get people to sign up to like my newsletter because I like to write, but these platforms are not the correct place for long form writing and things like that. So I want people to go sign up for my newsletter on my website and things like that.
Right.
But your goals might be different. I think back to the original question was, how do you balance your tone with things like engagement? And the instinct is, if I'm mean and aggressive, then I might make a splash and it's going to go viral, right? So your question was like, how do I moderate that? And my answer is, you should kind of treat yourself like a brand, like a company that has a predefined voice, and you have a tone that you take on different platforms and with different topics, and you should stick to those things, and you should be judicious about what you say. I'm not the best at this, by the way. Like, it's a human failing, but I'm saying that is the advice I try to take myself, and it's not easy, but I think it is what someone has to keep in mind.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, You know, it reminds me of, you know, back in the day when I was obsessed with Gary Vee. Like he talks about it similarly. Make your personal brand an actual brand. Treat it like it's a corporate brand and decide what your voice is going to be. One of the struggles that I have, I think that's one of my main struggles, is I want to do like a really hot take on a specific issue, but then the next issue that comes up, I just want to treat it like a joke and I want to make fun of it, you know? And right. So then people are like, wait, is he serious? Is he not? And that is kind of like the struggle for me, but I totally agree. I think, you know, people need to know what they're coming to you for, right? Like they have to come to you for a specific reason, a specific tone.
Well, you could be multifaceted, and I think that's where design comes into the game, because we're not simple creatures, right? Mm-hmm. You can be, but like my personal demeanor is I'm pretty confrontational. I mean, that wouldn't come across here, but I'm pretty confrontational with people. Mm-hmm. But I also have like a goofy side. So with my friends, it's like, oh, that guy talks a lot. He's so goofy. And then with people who maybe aren't my close friends, they're like, oh, that guy's like really intense. And so what you have to do is, if you want to convey both those sides of who you are, then that's where design comes in. And you need something in your design and your visuals, or whether it's sound design or something like that, that cues up your audience and is like, hey, this is a serious moment. Or like, hey, this is a funny moment.
Right.
Because that way they don't get like culture shock. Their expectations meet the reality, and that design fulfills that role.
Absolutely love it, man. I'm definitely going to take that advice for myself, because, you know, it's sometimes hard to implement when you're on the fly and everybody's posting about something. You want to be first to get it. I want to change gears a little bit, not that much. I want to talk about some of the other trends. So like, what do you see as being like a poor example of a trend, maybe something that we shouldn't be embracing fully as conservatives, that you're just like, oh, it's an eyesore or whatever, for whatever reason? What do you see?
Okay. Yeah. So, I think the whole, the carousel on Instagram, where people do like the long form explanation thing. Mm. I said before that I don't think social media is a great place for long form writing, but that's been a trend that has been successful. And I've seen there's a lot of accounts like, So You Want to Talk About, right? And they're on Instagram and they're making these type of long form pieces. They get a lot of engagement. And there have been conservative responses to that, making their own content. And even in the PragerU team, we make our own. But one thing I notice a lot of people do is they're not thinking about their typography or like, am I making this easy to read, or am I just packing a ton of words onto one panel? And I'm not a huge fan of that. I think these things may have their heyday and you see a bit of a response, and the bad typography is not hurting you. Mm-hmm. But the ones that are on the left, they're being more attentive in general to making sure that they're doing good text lockups and making things read well.
Yeah, I remember seeing, not to cut you off, I remember seeing a post that you made about like an Airbnb billboard or something, and you were pretty much correcting the typography, and it was just such, it was speaking to my soul, you know?
That was, let me finish my quick point, which is that I just noticed a lot of conservative people making these type of like carousel posts, and they're doing things with like these really insane type of skinny cursives and things like that, overlapping letters that don't seem to work all that well, and they're just insanely hard to read, and you know it when you see it. I would advise people against that. I would go with something that's very quick and easy to digest.
Now, on that same issue, how much of it do you think is people not having actual programs to design and using apps? And how much of it do you think is like poor typography? Because I know I use Over some of the time. I use, you know, I use InShot, stuff like that, more for video. Mm-hmm. But the font choices are not necessarily great, and the control that you have is nothing compared to like, let's say, creating these things on Illustrator or something like that.
Sure. It's probably a bit of both, right? Because I can't speak for other people, but typography is not easy, and I'm not the best at it. It's one of those design skill sets that seems to have fallen by the wayside with the rise of video content and things like that. It's just, they're flashier and designers don't think about typography anymore. Mm. And I'm like 100% self-taught with typography, because I it's not like a thing that got a lot of focus when I was in school even, but there are programs. And so I wouldn't blame the programs for that. You know, there are free programs like Canva, which they already have preset typographical lockups that are pretty nice. And they even have really fine controls. Like you can adjust kerning and you can adjust letting, which for the audience, kerning's like the spacing between the letters, letting's the spacing between the lines. And you can do different alignment and things like that. And they have many, many more typeface choices. The other thing though, is that you're not, you don't need to have a fantastic typeface to do, nice typography. Like you could do nice typography with Times New Roman, even though I wouldn't do it for PragerU, but you can do it. And you can do nice typography with, you know, almost all of our designs use a typeface called Roboto or a typeface called Anton.
Roboto is a free font, right?
Yeah. And it has a lot of families. You can, it's also in Adobe. And so obviously we're using Adobe fonts, but, there a lot of great fonts are available for free. And so I wouldn't use that as it's like blaming your tools. I wouldn't blame the tools. Right. I would say go study up some typography. And when I did like the PragerForce takeover a couple days ago, maybe it was last week, I did like this whole thing about if you're feeling stumped about how you lay out your text, like just establish some rules of thumb. If I do left aligned text, then I'm going to keep it to the left side of the frame. If I do right aligned text, I'm going to keep it to the right side. And I'm not going to do that as much because people don't usually read right, you know, right to left. And if I do a center aligned, then I'll either align it on the middle axis or like the 1/3 or the 2/3. And if you establish those kinds of rules of thumbs for yourself, then you're going to be all right. Your designs are typically going to look pretty good and you're not going to be too stumped. I'm just saying, I see a lot of people doing like really outlandish stuff with text, and it signals that they're trying to be artsy, but they don't, they're not really sure how to pull back and just do the right amount.
Yeah, I think it's that's a great point to make to, let's say, an influencer or a content creator that's not necessarily design driven. It's okay to be boring with your typography. It's okay to be simple and plain with it because people will be able to read it and relate to the words you're actually typing. I do feel like sometimes people who are that they've gotten, let's say, a lot of exposure kind of out of nowhere. Maybe they wanted it or didn't, but they're not designers. They're politically minded people, right? They're trying to figure out how to create all of this stuff, and they don't have the design skills. They don't even know what they don't know. So they start kind of playing all these. So that's definitely a big piece of advice. It's okay to be ultra simple with your fonts, with your styling, with all that stuff. It's better to do that than to try and be artsy and fail at it, in my opinion.
Yeah. And to be, if you're consistent about it, post after post, it becomes part of your identity, right? So I think that's the other side of the coin. Just I see people, they do something crazy one post, and they do a different kind of weird, crazy thing on the next post, and then yet another one on the following post. And it's there are some people that do a really good job with that, but I've just noticed a lot of conservative designers are going, they're going too wild, I think, to the point that it's like, I can't read this, man. I literally can't read what you put on here. That's a problem.
So when you say going too wild, because now I'm feeling convicted. Are you talking about, let's say, like colorways and like the way the colors are laid out? Are you talking about, let's say, when people are in reels and the words are popping up and that kind of, what exactly, what medium? Yeah.
So I'm going to take the thing about Reels, Reels, TikTok. I'm going to set those aside for a minute because I have a different thought on those type of things. Okay. I'm talking like where people take, for example, really, really dramatic type of script fonts that look like they were done in this really fine tipped quill. And the words have big, crazy loops in them. So that, and then they'll take something like that, which is really, really meant to be one
big
bold
word.
Headline, like one bold word, that type of a typeface would work. And then what they'll do is they'll make it really small and they'll put like a paragraph of content in that typeface. And all these loops are overlapping with the words and the lines below them. And it doesn't come across well. I think the idea is that they want it to look like constitutional type of script back when everyone was trained to do fine, it's not even cursive. Like it's fine. It's almost like they wrote
in calligraphy, essentially.
Calligraphically, yeah. But it's not, that effect's not being achieved, because you can't really achieve that effect with a pre-designed font. You just need to go hire a lettering artist and they'll do a good job with something like that. But it's not something that it's a point and click.
Right.
But people are doing it and I don't think it works.
Right. So I want to talk about the good trends, and then let's get into Reels and TikTok, because that's super interesting to me.
Okay. Yeah. Good trends. This is like going to be blasphemy, because it's not necessarily promoting my own company, but I think Poplitics is actually, like, they have a wild color scheme for sure, but it's totally right for what they do. Mm-hmm. However, I think that they are crushing it when it comes to how they have adopted new formats and like doing the double screen thing on the Instagram posts, and they basically tapped into something, like you mentioned Gary V before. Mm-hmm. Gary V, who I don't know what his political, you know, perspectives are or anything like that.
I mean, he can't possibly like communism because he came from communist Russia. So.
Yeah, look, he's a mixed bag, I think, but that's okay. His team does they have a pretty lowbrow like design style. You know, they almost want you to think that, wow, there's no design in this. I just slapped a font on there and then, you know, there it was. But they do all kinds of crazy things, like switching up frames, switching up, making multiple views on the camera. Then there's like this random animated bit. Oh, now there's like a cartoon stick or whatever. It's super, super engaging. Mm-hmm. And they have this intentional style to make it not look insanely polished.
Right.
Well, I think Poplitics has picked up on that a little bit, and they've got a whole brand. It's like based on these 90s, like, and early 2000s, like teen girls magazines.
Yeah, it reminds me of Teen Magazine or even MTV back in the day in the 90s.
My wife would know, but they're literally modeling it after a particular line of magazines that were apparently really popular with teenage girls in like the 2000s. They nailed it. It's exactly, it's perfect. So I think they're crushing it. It's really good. I'm gonna also say that I like the stuff the Daily Wire's been doing too, with their YouTube content and things like that. I think a lot of they're doing a show called Office Hours now with Georgia Howe, where she interviews PragerU presenters. Mm-hmm. So like every Monday, whatever 5-minute video was released, that presenter is getting interviewed by Daily Wire. And so I've been watching those, and I like their approach. They kind of have done some slick music choices and stylings to that show. And they did something that was really strange, I thought, but it's kind of cool, which is like she's interviewing the person. Mm-hmm. And so it cuts back and forth between them, obviously. Mm-hmm. But she's actually like interviewing them, and they're up on this big screen TV. So they have a third camera angle, which is like this like roving camera that goes from behind Georgia. Mm. So that it's like you see her in the foreground, and then you see this huge TV screen.
Oh, wow.
And the person's talking on it. And it's like, it's sort of like breaking the fourth wall. Okay, it's kind of cool. I like that a lot.
It's reminding you that it's not necessarily in person, but it's still well produced.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I totally agree. And Poplitics has been, for me, it's brought me kind of so much hope for the creative side of this movement, because, like you said, it is so bright and vivid, and it looks like you just changed the name. You could drop it on E! Entertainment on the Instagram, mm-hmm. and it would fit right in. So it's great that way.
Let me throw two more.
Yeah, please.
All right. So two more good trends. First off, if people don't know Conservative Creator on Instagram, she's like leading this drive for just literally conservative artwork, which I appreciate that a lot.
She was on the Clubhouse with us, right?
Yeah, she was on the Clubhouse, and she's got like a huge following, and she's like a really good artist. She does these vector graphics, and I think she's doing something that's unique and it's developing a trend now, but I think she was like the vanguard of it, which is just kind of retro looking art for the sake of being art. But then she like works in with like type or things like that, some kind of a pro-American or conservative message.
Love it.
And that's something you see the left do all the time. And for some reason, conservatives I haven't really been on top of it, and she's doing it. And then the other one, I'm going to give you a plug because you're interviewing people about design and conservatism, which is like, I think that's very important. It's overlooked because it's so niche, but it can definitely be a game changer for us.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, I totally agree that I think we've gotten stuck with regards to conservative creator. We got stuck on the conservative side of things with this aesthetic of like patriotism, red, white, and blue, the Constitution, yeah. You know, and we just need to kind of keep the essence of those things, but give it a new twist. And she's doing a great job. I definitely follow her. So yeah,
and we've talked about that in the office, and I've talked about it with other conservative people too, because I want to reframe what you just said about the red, white, and blue, because I've said similar things before. People take that as meaning you want to give up on like the red, white, and blue and all that.
Yeah.
It's not really what it means. What we're trying to say is that because of the left's dominance in culture, they have painted red, white, and blue, patriotism, pro-American, stars and stripes, all that in such a negative light that we are at this point where when you put that right in front of someone, you know, first look, they are inclined to like draw back from it, which is really horrible.
Yeah.
And the idea that we would not broaden our methods and our approach aesthetically to be something that is more appealing, that hasn't been vilified, in order to draw those people in and then say, hey, they like the red, white, and blue, is like, all right, dude, it's actually really good.
Right.
That's something, it's counterintuitive to me that conservatives would be wedded to this thing so strongly without realizing that they're not being able to spread the message as a result or bring people into it.
Right. Well, I think we have that opinion because, like you said at the beginning of this, you know, design is problem solving. We have to find a way to gain the attention of people that would normally never give the time of day to a PragerU video or to a conservative podcast. And one of those ways is branding and making sure that we're not putting, you know, the MAGA hat in the front of our thing and, you know, putting, you know, Trump flags or everything in the background so that people are just turned off instantly. I do have my little MAGA hat there, but it's okay.
Well, that works for like a certain audience. The point is,
right,
know your audience.
Right.
And so if you're building support for your base, by all means, go for it. But if you're trying to reach people who you know have been indoctrinated or have been given messaging of a certain type, then you need to adapt your messaging and your look. You know, you almost have to like Saul Alinsky them. You got to slide in there like, yeah, I'm one of you, but like, hey, come over here. I'm going to show you this better thing.
Yeah. I think a notable mention as far as the aesthetics of, let's say, a podcast goes or even production value, I can't not mention Steven Crowder. I just think like it's such top level production for somebody that's just literally on his own with his mm-hmm. team that he built, and you know the skits that they do. You can tell the amount of time that goes into these things, and like I really love that he's done such a good job at this. That like most people that I know, they were red pilled by Steven Crowder. You know, like that's what essentially brought them in. And he is a little over the top sometimes. He's a little wild, but you know, you just gotta admire. Like it looks like a real TV show. Like it looks like.
And he's one of those people. Like we talked about comedy versus being serious before. That you know when you're watching a Steven Crowder comedy thing, and you know when you're watching Steven Crowder doing a serious statement.
Right.
So he's branded that well. And he's definitely got a vibe. Like I wouldn't advise other conservatives to go with like the brick wall neon sign thing, because Crowder's locked that down. Whenever I see other people doing that, I'm like, why are you copying Steven Crowder? Like that's his thing. Do your own thing. I like, by the way, your intro for your show is dope. I like it a lot.
Thank you. I actually got it from Clay Design. So it's somebody that reached out to me after our Clubhouse thing. So
yeah, it's awesome. Super cool.
Thank you, man. Yeah, I made sure like one of the main aesthetics I want to go with, and I'll talk this out with you because you know we can and you know appreciate it. I want to go with like a mix of this grunge kind of '90s thing, because like you see, I play guitar, you know, I play guitar in church and stuff, but like I love rock and roll, you know, and that's my thing. I want to incorporate that. I want to blend that with like, you know, Christian imagery, you know, stuff like that, and just really create this unique thing that I don't feel like I've seen yet, you know, just really gritty, but at the same time, kind of like epic and holy because of the Christian imagery.
It looks really good. And I think that it's funny because one of our designers at PragerU, he's a very he's got like a very 90s grunge aesthetic, and
Oh,
then
nice.
people will like they'll put down grunge and he'll be like, what are you saying? And then he like gets all intense, and he, you know, there's all these styles, aesthetics and whatnot. They're methods for reaching people because let me put it this way, okay? This is a hot take, all right?
This is for the TikTok. That's what this is for.
Yeah. People will say in relationships that you shouldn't judge people by their looks. But the truth of the matter is that when you're out in the dating world, the very first thing you know about a person is their look and whether you like it or not and whether they're attractive to you. Okay? That is why our look and the way we present ourselves is important when we're out and about with other people and trying to attract certain kinds of attention, because people have to judge you by your look first. And if your look is the right thing to capture their attention and draw them in, they get to know you better. So when I'm talking to conservatives and they say, oh, this look isn't conservative, like you could be conservative and be emo. Okay.
Yeah.
You can be conservative and be like a flower child.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
The point is that if that is your vibe, okay, and you can reach people with it, like the people you understand, like you're a punk rock, grunge, 90s, whatever, and you're going to reach people with that, and they're going to know, hey, like this guy's vibe is like my vibe. Mm. I want to know more. Then you should just work with that. We've gotten so caught up in this idea that the philosophy has a look, and that's not true. Philosophy is in our minds. Design is in front of our eyes, and the design should be helping to bring people into the philosophy.
I freaking love that, man. That's definitely getting clipped out and put on my Instagram just to let know. No, that's amazing. And that's something that I struggle to articulate a lot of the times because, you know, like you said, a lot of what happens on the conservative side is like, oh, we need to stop caring so much about, you know, the way people look, you know, obviously, for example, people are walking around in suits and stuff at all these conferences, and it's like we start to associate that with conservatism instead of the ideas themselves. And it's just like it goes the same with design. It's like, well, if there's not an American flag in the background, then obviously he doesn't love America. It's like, no, maybe that's just not my look.
Right.
That's not my appeal. So, I 100% agree. Now that I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No. Well, the last thing is I think your point about the suits and ties and everything, conservatives have done a lot of damage to the movement over the last few years by basically constantly wanting to do this whole, like, I'm a young politician type of look because, like, it doesn't even make sense to me because we're not big on government and that you have to be a politician to solve issues or do good things in the world.
That's
yet
true.
Every single person who decides they're going to be some kind of a conservative figure or up and coming, whatever, they're like, well, now it's time for me to don my young Republican outfit. And like, that's not really the thing you got to do.
Right. The navy blue suit with the red tie.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I 100% agree. I never thought of that. You know, it's like, of course it feels good to say like, I love America, so let me dress up to the nines, you know, put on my navy blue suit with my red tie and really like represent. But then, like you said, it's really like, well, you're only 20, you're 21, you know,
right.
Like, why are you wearing a suit and trying to be a politician?
There are contexts where that is right.
Of course.
Obviously, that type of outfit shows respect for whatever you're up to.
Right.
And so you wouldn't show up at like a serious conference event looking really drab. But at the same time, like your image can't be dominated by that look if you're trying to reach people who that type of thing is like completely not what they're up to. It's the fastest way to push them off.
That's so true, man. That's so true. I want to jump now into what we were saying before, Reels and TikTok. I know you wanted to separate that. So can you unpack that for me?
Yeah. So this is where I think there's a natural, I talk with my boss about this a lot because we have got at PragerU a team of designers, and then we've got a social media team, and then we've got the creative team that works with influencer content and we've really invested heavily in the last year on the design side of basically there's a tension. Okay. It's a natural tension. It's not got to do with like personalities or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a natural tension between designers and influencers. Okay. And the reason is this: if an influencer has attracted an audience of a relatively good size, then they don't need design to do well. Okay? It's not a requirement.
It's a
And
hard pill to
so,
swallow for some people.
sorry.
That's a hard pill to swallow for some people.
Yeah, it's hard pill for me to swallow.
Yeah.
Because I spent like 3 years working at PragerU where like hard hitting on the design side, that type of content was doing really, really well. And then like the influencer culture really took off, and then you get the lockdown and all that. Now everyone's at home making their own content. And it can be tough because what you realize is that if you can get to a certain level as an influencer, the premium of having really fine design goes down a bit. Because and actually the other part of it is that the premium that you care most about is speed. How quickly, like you said, how quickly can I respond? Can I be the first person on this issue? And so taking 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour, which are not, that's not a long time, to add a bit of design or anything to that video that you just recorded on your phone, can actually have like serious detrimental effects on the performance of your content, and put you behind instead of ahead of the issue. So it's the same conflict you have with like doing news content versus doing natively produced content for your brand, which is like if you're trying to hit the news cycle, then you're almost always reacting,
Yeah.
and you don't have a lot of time to react. So design is tough. So the reason I say I want to separate that is because I think when it comes to TikTok and Reels, that's a place where a lot of designers are going to need to you're going to need to like swallow a big pill with this one, which is that you have to switch up the way you do things. You don't sit and linger and craft on those type of things. What you do is you build templates and you get on things like Adobe Rush or platforms like Canva that are user friendly for the non-designer, and you do the best you can using those tools. And you make them as available as possible with as many options that you could give your influencer type people so that if they feel like they need some kind of design component, oh, I need a headline. Oh, I need like some kind of like border boundary graphic. Oh, I want to drop a logo on here. That stuff is just sitting there for them, ready to go. They know how to pick it up and put it on themselves. And you need to not hold those things so dear because
Wow.
you're actually the slow poke in the game. And that's a really hard thing for designers to internalize and then learn how to work with when we're used to being like, oh, I'm making creative decisions. I'm like, I'm gonna adjust this clip here, that. It's like you're not doing that part, okay? Like
You know, you're speaking so much to me right now because so I recently started as design chairman for New York Young Republicans.
Oh, which was not a slam, by the way, earlier on Young Republicans. That was just like
Oh,
a,
not at all, not at all. Yeah. The reason I say that you're speaking to me is since getting into that role, I've had to kind of start churning out things quickly. Like, let's say something happens in New York politics and there's somebody that we need something we need to make a statement on. They're like, all right, we need a statement on this, this, and that. The flyer needs to be up. Like, we need this like by 10 a.m. today. And I'm there like 10 a.m. I have to craft a flyer. I have to create, I have to find the images. And then I, like what you were talking about templates, I'm like, yes, I'm gonna make a template. Anytime anything has to happen, I can just have like the vice chair, just essentially fill in that template and I'll just design the template really well. And that to me is fascinating because like now I can take that and implement it in my personal content and say, all right, now when something happens and I'm on the fly, and let's say I want to do a Reels, I have my own template or format for the Reels that I want to do. So that's like priceless advice that you gave right there. And I think every
Thank
designer influencer should follow that to the T. Create your template for your reels, create your template for your posts. I have like, my little tweet on Instagram template, which is just like a cool background, and then the tweet goes over it with like a
Yep.
rounded edges. Those things perform so well. I don't know what it is, man.
Well, there's so that's the other thing too. Things do go in and out of trends. So, we've gone into a really when you survey people, like I read a survey from Stripes that was going around about how people respond to content. And basically, I'm not like I say, I'm a confrontational person. So my language here is not going to be very polished. And I'm just going to say, this is not to insult anyone. Okay. It's just not polished. The audience doesn't know what they're talking about. When they say that something is, oh, that's raw. Oh, that's heavily designed. Oh, that's like, That's marketing. That's not marketing. They don't really, for the most part, know. And I think the people who are in the audience who see a piece of content that know some of the software that you're working with or what it takes to build a piece of content, that like they're in the minority of people. Mm-hmm. So what happens here is we're in a phase where things that seem very raw and very off the cuff and natural, that is given a premium because that's seen as it's not marketing. Okay. Right. People are like, I'm not being sold something. I'm just getting information and truth. But we talked about Gary Vee before. Gary Vee's content looks very off the cuff.
Yeah.
But that's all built.
Yeah. He's got a team of 20 designers around him.
Yeah. There are designers, there are editors. They're sitting there hammering away on those things constantly to make them look that way. Mm. And what happens like with PragerU content in my team is the stuff that looks most designed, it typically is like the fastest to make because that's where we've had this template and whatnot.
I see.
But as this stuff has changed, we got to adjust our templates too and start, okay, we don't want to sit there and take an hour to build every single post that we're making to have this look. We've got to establish what that looks going to be, template that, and now we can do it quickly again.
Right.
And we're just in that phase right now where maybe design's coming back in. Like you said, you put the design behind the tweet screenshot, mm-hmm. and it performs well. Maybe people are starting to appreciate that design component again, and that'll go through a whole bubble, and then it'll go back down again, and then it'll come back up.
Yeah, no, 100%. I love that. I love that these things are coming to light because I think it's important. There's so many conservative influencers. And mm-hmm. I don't think that they have any resources for this kind of stuff. So it's really cool to hear, especially from somebody that's doing the work that you're doing. It's really awesome. I want to kind of give you the floor to talk about your newsletter. I know that's important to you, to talk about the things that you're doing with PragerU. Make sure that you have the time to plug and also where people can find you and all that. Floor is yours.
Okay, right on. Well, first off, thank you for having me on here for your podcast, which is it's super fun. And I love talking about these things. There's, I got people at work to talk about, outside of that, not so much. And my whole thing working at PragerU doing design content is I really want there to be a strong pro-American design movement that can counteract this like century of leftism in design. And I know that there are designers out there because they message me every week on Instagram when I post something. And I know they're involved in groups where everyone thinks that they're all leftists in this design groups and things like that. But then you find out, oh my God, like, you're conservative. Why don't you ever say anything? And they're afraid.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to inspire designers. Like, you can be brave about your values. You can use your talent and skills to promote these things. And I think that's kind of like part of this unspoken mission I have with PragerU, with our content, is to inspire more of that. And it is definitely the mission with my newsletter, which is a pretty new thing. And I like to write about all of these political and cultural issues, but I also like to bring design into them. So look, if people want to subscribe to that, they can go to my website, which is alexjimenezdesign.com, and they can hit the little subscribe button. And then I send the newsletter out every week, Monday or Sunday. I really enjoy writing about these things. So if people like this conversation, I would say, first off, you should be following PragerU, and you should be following all of PragerU's different, influencers and our platforms, and subscribing to our website, because you will be able to see where these type of ideas are being applied in the real world. And then if you want my more personal thoughts on these type of things, then you subscribe to my newsletter. And you can follow me on Instagram at Alex Jimenez Design, Twitter, A Jimenez Design.
And I'll add to that. Definitely give them a follow on Instagram because it's the designs on there are great. You're going to see some awesome stuff that you wouldn't really see anywhere else. So definitely give them a follow, for inspiration and for all that kind of stuff. I'd love to have you back on to talk more philosophically about the things, postmodernism and stuff like that. So you're always welcome to come back on.
Great.
But yeah, I'm excited to post this, and it's been refreshing to talk design on my podcast. So thanks so much for being here, man.
Thank you too. And, good luck with everything. You're doing awesome work.
Thank you.
I can't wait to see this come out.
Awesome. So, stick around. I'm going to stop recording.